So now we have our opportunity to hear what our Heavenly Father would like to reveal to each of us this morning as we continue in our study of looking at how to travel the road to financial freedom and the good life. But before we enter into that, as you all know, I was celebrating my 75th birthday last week. So for those of you that are dyslexic and can talk, you know that you're only 57. And that's the way I like to look at it. But for those of you who put together that wonderful cavalcade of have Ron sitting out in his driveway from 4:30 to 5:30 and watch the cars come up down the street, honking horns. My neighbors were perfectly fine with that once they figured out that you were celebrating my birthday. But you moved me to tears. And as you pulled up in front of the driveway and you offered me your birthday card and so forth, I was just enormously blessed. That's never happened to me before. You're very creative, and I just want you to know I love you very, very much and appreciate all of you that put your heads together to make that happen. And as you know, it's been the history here that I would share with you a couple of the birthday cards that you graciously gave me. Now, there were cards that were truly lovely, loving, with great, sweet sentiments and so forth. And this is one of them. It says, be thankful. It's just another birthday creeping up on you. Oh, it could be your underwear. Try not to think about it and have a happy birthday. So I'll let that person's name remain anonymous until I use them as a sermon illustration. The other ones, you have several little sweet angels on the front of the card, and it says, on the day you were born, the angels got together and were severely reprimanded. So happy birthday. So that was sweet. Thank you. And one last one. It's a handmade card. So this person really put a lot of effort into it. And it says on the front, on your birthday, don't count the candles on the cake. Seriously. We don't have the time to listen. No, seriously, we don't have all day to hear it. There you go. And happy birthday. So thank you very much for the cards that had sweet sentiment. And you know I love being picked on. So again. So let's go back to the introduction. We're looking at, again, how to travel the road to financial freedom and to the good life. And by the good life, if you're new to us here in California or elsewhere, I don't want you to misunderstand what I mean by the good life. I'm not a health and wealth prosperity pastor. I don't believe in that false gospel. The health and wealth prosperity gospel has its focus on the wrong person. In the prosperity gospel, the focus is on man. It's on mankind. And our Lord's gospel is on Jesus. I believe in a Jesus-centered gospel, not a man-centered gospel. For those of you that maybe are part of the health and wealth and prosperity gospel movement, it's not my desire to be unkind or anything like that. My encouragement is check the source, the book, and make sure that what you're being taught is the truth. Okay? So, having said that, if you take out your message notes, hopefully you've downloaded them. We've filled in the blanks all the way up to the point to where we stopped last Sunday. If you're unable to receive our message notes, go to our website. I'm told you can download them from there. And if you would like, even though you're in another state and want to continue following, tracking with us, if you would send in, call the church phone number at area code 818-363-3767, 818-363-3767. We can put you on a list and make sure that when we send out the message notes weekly, you can receive them. Okay? So, having said that, on page one, you'll notice I gave you a memory verse, and I hope that you've memorized it by now. It's very important because as we're in this series, it will help to remind yourself some very valuable things with regard to the paradigm that we should be living under as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not the paradigm that we have been taught here in America by our leaders. Our leaders have taught us a paradigm that does not lead us down the road to financial freedom, but financial bondage. And that is not the good life. It brings us into a life that is full of tension. As you see on page two of your notes, we went through a lot of statistics and how they affect specifically marriage. Now, just as it doesn't affect people who are in marriage, but it affects singles as well. But the marriage can be devastated if the finances are not handled properly. On page three of your notes, we looked at who is in control, and I gave you some guidelines on handling money. Then over on page four, our Heavenly Father brought forth four areas that he wants us to be aware of. He wants us to remember that on that special moment, whenever that was for you, that you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you recognize that you're a sinner, that your destination was damnation and hell, and because of our Heavenly Father's favor, his grace placed upon your life, you came to understand through faith that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the very living Son of God. And you asked him to forgive you. You told him you were sorry. And through this confession and repentance, this change of life towards sin and wanting to be pleasing to your Heavenly Father, he brought you into his family. And with that, things changed. You became a new creation. But more than that, he shared with you that your life is no longer about you. Your life is to be about being a follower, a disciple of the Most High God. You are to be the one that gets up every morning and offers yourself up as a living sacrifice. You offer yourself to him and take up your cross and follow him throughout the day. This is part and parcel of what takes place when we become genuine Christians. So our life is no longer about us. Whatever we do, if we're law enforcement officers, if we're firefighters, if we're nurses, doctors, if we're in management with big companies, whatever it may be, even if we're stay-at-home moms, we are to remember, life is not about me anymore. It's about giving my life in fullness to Christ. The second thing, and I'm not going to go through all four of them, was that the second purpose of your life is that we are to be seeking the supremacy, the preeminence of Jesus in all things. Everything we do, we are to be seeking his excellence. We would need to, when we're making our decisions about simple things, to learn through having an intimate relationship with him, to ask him questions, to speak your heart to him so that he can lead you in this life that you've now been called to. We are to be sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've had opportunities to be in conversation with a number of pastors during this COVID-19 attack that we have going on and the closing of churches. And with live stream, these pastors are sharing with me that people just like you, they're inviting numbers of people to come into their homes and to listen to the messages and to worship live streaming. Now, hopefully they're doing it with no more than 10 people in a home. And hopefully they're all social distancing properly and wearing their masks. Over on page 5, we looked at why the Lord says so much about money. We discovered that there are spiritual reasons as well as practical reasons that we looked at on page 6. And then we began to look at our Father's responsibility regarding all of the things that have been created. We saw here that our Heavenly Father is the owner, not of just some things or most things. He is the owner of all things because He created it all. We saw from the living, active, authoritative Word of God where He makes this clear. He told us that He owns all the silver and the gold. He owns all the land. He owns all the animals, our pets, etc. He created all things. They all belong to Him. We learned that our Heavenly Father is in control. He is sovereign over all that there is. We learned that our Heavenly Father will provide for us all that we need. And where I left you last week was on page 8. On page 8, I shared with you this true statement. Our Abba Father is both predictable and unpredictable. He is predictable in His faithfulness to provide. He is unpredictable in how He will provide. And I want to give you an illustration of that. Most of you know, if you've been part of GHCC for at least a year, I had a Ford Expedition that I drove for 18 years. Not many people keep their cars 18 years, besides myself and Nina Soto Sante. But I had that car for 18 years. It saw its mechanic every 5,000 miles, whether it needed or not. And I think that's why it went 300,247 miles. And then I had this little fender bender with it. Well, that little fender bender with a car that has so many miles and it's so old that they totaled the car. Now, what are we going to do in buying a new car? I didn't have the funds to be able to go out and buy a new car. Kathy and I have been following the scripture and being what is called sacrificial givers. And that was an area we weren't saving in. We were giving it away to the Lord and making investments in things that are eternal. But there was a man who, and his wife, and they were fairly new to the church. I don't think they had been here more than maybe 3 months or so. But at any rate, the husband, he's in the shower, and he's just doing what you do in the shower. And he got a prodding from the Holy Spirit. I need to help Pastor Ron get a new car. And after he's all cleaned up and looking spuzzy and looking really debonair, he walks into the room where his wife is, and he shares with her what he thinks the Holy Spirit was sharing with him. And she says, "The Holy Spirit was sharing the same thing with me." Is that not wonderful? That is so cool. And so he calls me up and he tells me this. No one has ever called up to tell me something like that. I was just overwhelmed and exceedingly blessed. Now, they had another vehicle that was brand new, only a few miles on it. But it wasn't quite the size vehicle that I felt I was going to need going forward since I keep them so long for ministry, transporting people and supplies and things like that. So we'll just give you the car. Well, that car was the equivalent of half the cost of the Explorer that I purchased. Half the cost. I could afford to pay the other half of the car off with my salary. It was just an enormous blessing. All that to say, he is faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so very much. Just giving me the illustration. You are definitely faithful, but unpredictable on how you are going to meet the need that came up. And I thank you for having spoken to this wonderful man and his wife and had them step forward and not be Christian hoarders, of which the church is full of across America. Hoarders, instead of giving from that which you've provided, they hold on to it for themselves. So this couple is a wonderful example, Father. Thank you. Of what we're really supposed to be about with regard to our finances. So how come I'm on the wrong page here? Let me flip back here. This is embarrassing. There we go. You thought you weren't going to have to listen to the message, didn't you? I found it. Ha ha. Okay. This morning we're going to pick up where I left off, and that is our responsibility as God's sons and daughters. God's sons and daughters. Number one, we are stewards of God's possessions, his property and wealth. We are stewards of that. A steward, as I shared with you in weeks past, is a manager. But the Bible uses the term steward, a manager of someone else's possessions. You and I have become the stewards, the managers of portions of our Heavenly Father's estate. He gave you a portion and you a portion and you a portion. He gave every one of us who are his children a portion of his estate to manage. We are to protect it. We are not to misuse it, but we are to use it for ourselves as he would want us to, and to make investments so that it grows, but the investments are going towards those things that have eternal value. Just imagine that the God of created everything has asked the likes of me to oversee a portion of his estate. I was not taught that by another pastor, and I've had some really good ones in my walk of faith. It was only in my own study of the Word of God that this came about. Number two, we are to be faithful. We're to be faithful to our Heavenly Father in the taking care of that portion of his estate that he's given you to watch over. God owns all that we have, and he has given you and me the responsibility to manage his things. We're to manage his things faithfully according to the financial principles that we find here in the Word of God. Not financial principles that we see in our culture, but according to the word of God. Because what our culture teaches us is not what our Heavenly Father teaches us. And we've all grown up in our culture. And it's hard sometimes to begin thinking the way He wants us to be thinking. In following our culture's way, that's going to lead us down the road to frustration, not to financial well-being. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 33. Do you see it there, folks? Let's all read that together, shall we? So then, none of you can be my disciples. Stop there. Did you hear him? This isn't just a reading of some words now. Our Heavenly Father, He is asking for our attention. Let's start over again. So then, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his possessions. What? That's downright un-American, right? What American thinks that way? But nonetheless, that's what he says. And if you read the text in its context, you'll see that all those that were following Jesus had done just that. They'd given up all their possessions. They'd given up their employment to follow Jesus. This is what it was all about. For us, he is saying, really, the willingness to give up all of our possessions. If he asks, of course, because it's not really ours, is it? We discovered that everything belongs to him. The concept of stewardship management begins with the recognition that Abba is the owner of everything and everyone on this globe. And really, all of those, what we're told, 40 billion galaxies out there, it's all his. We never really own anything during our very brief stay here on earth. Abba just loans the earth to us while we're here. It was his property before you arrived. It will be his property while you're here, but it will be his property again once he summons you home. You just get to enjoy it for now while you're here, but following his principles so you can really enjoy it. When our Heavenly Father created Adam and Eve, oh, how they get blamed for so much, right? When our Heavenly Father finished creating them, he entrusted the care of his creation to them and appointed them trustees over all that he had created. The scripture tells us here, look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. How sweet. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the living things that move on the earth. They have control. It's all theirs. He blessed them and told them, go have lots of kids. Go have lots of kids. How many kids you got? Maybe you can have two or three more. We'll build up our children's department. Come on, folks. He blessed them, told them to have all kinds of kids so that they could take care of his creation by putting them in charge. The fact is this. Here's your fill-in. The first job our Heavenly Father gave to people was to manage and take care of his stuff on earth. The role has been never rescinded. That's your fill-in. That's never been rescinded. It is part of our purpose today. Everything we enjoy is to be treated as a trust that God has placed into our hands. We each have that segment of his estate. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, the latter part of verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? If you then received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Some of us think, man, I'm just a wizard, you know. I can work the stock market and I can make all kinds of money that way. And we start boasting about certain things. And I have, you know, I have a boat and I have a second house up in the mountains and I have a this and I have a that. What is the matter with you? The thing is this, I understand it. You're only learning the paradigm that you should have been taught from the time that you became a Christian. That nothing belongs to you and everything belongs to him, and you're to be seeking the supremacy of Jesus Christ in all things, not you. But Ron, you know, I have these things, I did this and I did that. You know, the eyes and that are all part of that unholy trinity I've talked about. Me, myself, and I. We need to get rid of that. You see, you were born because he brought you into the world. He gave you certain skills. You didn't just make them and decide to have them. He gave them to you. And you worked with them. You honed them. He gave you the energy. He gave you the breath. He gave you the strength. He gave you the gray matter up here in your head to be able to do these things. It's all him, folks. It has nothing to do with you. You need to step away from boasting about yourself. Years ago, Kathy and I, as the church knows, and now you're going to know, you who are visiting with us, we bought a timeshare. Now, this is not one of those times where you're going to hear someone complain about the fact they bought a timeshare. Kathy and I have learned how to work the timeshare system, and it's worked well for us for, well, if COVID-19 is lifted in the islands this summer, it'll be 26 years. We've had this thing paid off for 24 and a half years. Having this timeshare, we were told after we had signed the paperwork and everything, the guy was saying, I want you to just think of the Kanapali Beach Club as your house. Treat it like your house. And, you know, I hear that. And I think about that, but he says, treat it like it's your house. So we did. We do the very best in trying to take care of our house as much as we can, so long as we have funds to be able to do that. So we're to take care of it just like it's our own place. And we can take care of it for 1 week, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, or up to 5 weeks. And we love it there. Just love it. We love swimming in the acre swimming pool. I love taking pictures of Kath go down the slide and getting her hair all wet. And she swears me the secrecy that I can't send those pictures off to anybody. We love the spas. Really nice. They certainly make my aching back feel good. We love to swim in the Pacific Ocean, which is just a few yards away. We enjoy snorkeling in that ocean right there off of our timeshare. We use their pool towels. We use in the condo itself. We they provide us towels and wash rags and dishes and silverware and cups and you name it. It's all there for us to use. And we do. And we enjoy going out on our lanai and having some coffee and looking out at the Pacific Ocean and looking right down the corridor between Lanai'i and Molokai'i. It's beautiful. I come back so rested from being there. We enjoy the benefits of using our timeshare without owning it the other 46, 47, 48 weeks of the year. Without owning it those other weeks of the year. Our culture says if you don't own it, you don't have to take care of it. Wrong. Wrong. I stay, as most of you know, at the Seacrest Resort Oceanfront Hotel for 10 days, most years, for the last 33 years, for my study break. And I feel like, in some ways, the hotel's mine. I've been there so often and for so long. But others who stay there don't feel that way. They have their bed linen changed every day. They have their towels and wash rags changed every day. They drop papers in the hallway. They spit out their gum in the parking lot so you can step in it. They let their dogs do their duty out on the grass so you can also find yourself slipping in that. But that's not me. I don't do that. I don't have my bed linen changed every day. Kathy washes our bed linen about every 5 days. That's when I have them change the sheets and the towels and the wash rags. About every 5 days, and I'm only going to be there 10 days. I make sure that my bed is made every day. There's no one else there but me, but I make the bed every day. I make sure that if any of the trash that's left over from eating in my room is in a waste paper basket, and if it's too full, I don't make the housekeeper come in and have to carry that to another bigger trash receptacle. I'll take it downstairs and I'll dump it. And if I happen to see some other paper on the way, I pick it up. But so many Christians don't do that, do they? When I go to Costco, you know, there are times when I'm parked way out in South 40, and the place where you park the carts is way over the other side. But what do most people do? They leave their cart right there in the space. So you can't use that space unless you get out and cause a backup of all the cars behind you and pull it out and place it off to the side so that you can pull in and now you can use that cart and take it with you. But after I finish, I'm going to take it to where the shopping cart corral thing is and put it in there. Why can't we do that? And you might say, you know, Ron, you sound like a little bit of a lunatic. Why do you do all that? Because it all belongs to him. You understand that? It all belongs to him. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for my Heavenly Father. I'm doing it for my wonderful Lord Jesus. I need to be an example of one that is mimicking Jesus Christ. I'm to be an imitator of God. That's all part of what he tells us. But we've got the American paradigm that we're living on, don't we? And we need to chuck it. And we need to embrace his, so that we truly look like what we are, children of the Most High God. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "Moreover, it is required of a steward," those who are being trusted with something valuable, "that they be found trustworthy." Trustworthy. Our Lord Jesus often referred to life as a trust, and he told stories to illustrate the responsibility toward to illustrate stories about the trust that we are to have living before our Heavenly Father. One such story we find in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29. Now, you eschatologists, I'm not going to do an eschatology unpacking of this passage. I'm going to approach it in this way. This gospel was written long before the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation is the last book that was written. So I'm approaching it like those who would have first been listening to Jesus as he spoke. In Matthew 25:21, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness." The fact is, at the end of your life here on earth, you will be evaluated and rewarded according to how well you handle what our Heavenly Father entrusted to your care. How you handle his things has eternal implications. It has been said, if you treat everything as a trust, our Heavenly Father promises you three rewards. Three rewards. Check it out. First, you'll be given his affirmation. His affirmation. He'll say, "Good job. Well done." You hear that? He'll say, "I'm proud of you." Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not asking for any of you to be thinking, "Oh, poor, poor Ron." But I can tell you this. I never once heard come out of the mouth of my father, my stepfather, or my mother, "Good job, Ron." Never have I heard, "Good job, Ron. Well done. I'm proud of you." And I'm certainly hoping that Jesus will say, "Well done. Good job, Ron. I'm proud of you." That first reward that we see there is affirmation. And dads, moms, grandpas, grandmas, please, take the example of our Lord, okay? And you find a reason to say to your grandkids, find a reason to say to your kids, you find a reason to say to your spouse, "Good job. Good job. Well done. I'm proud of you." Second, you will receive promotion and be given greater responsibility in heaven. "I will put you in charge of many things." Third, you'll be honored with celebration, much as you were doing for me this last week and at other times. Pastor's appreciation for Eugene and I. Other times than that, you just bless us with celebration. And it says in the word, "Come and share your master's happiness." Most people don't realize that money is both a test and a trust from our Heavenly Father. He uses finances to teach us to trust him. Such as Kath and I, we didn't have the money to go out and replace my car. He just wanted us to trust him because he had two other sweet folks that he had all lined up. He saw way in advance. He saw the day I bought that Expedition before it had a mile on it. And he knew at 300,247 miles, there's going to be a little fender bender, and I've got these folks you know nothing about lined up. He's got your best always in front of him. Always. So most people don't realize that money is both a test and a trust. He uses finances to teach us to trust him. And for many people, money is the greatest test of all. They spend more time thinking about their money, which isn't theirs, than they do about Jesus. Think about that. He watches how you use money to test how trustworthy we are. The Word of God says in Luke 16:11, if you are trustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you if you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth? Who will trust you with true riches in heaven? Are you trustworthy, family? Friend, are you trustworthy with what he's provided you to be a manager over? As I said earlier, this is very important, a very important truth. Our Heavenly Father said there is a direct relationship in how you use his money and the quality of your spiritual life. How I manage my money, worldly wealth, determines how much he can trust me with spiritual blessings, true riches. Our Savior said in Luke 12:48, everyone to whom much was given, to him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. True statement. Life is a test and a trust, folks. The more Abba has given you, the more responsibility he expects from you. So, this has been like a test on what you know about the biblical way of using that which he's provided you. What grade did you get on your financial test? What grade? What grade would you give yourself? Were you found trustworthy? Are you a man, a woman of integrity? We are to be faithful with all that we have. Not only are we to be faithful stewards of the incorrect teaching of 10% tithes, but also of the other 90%. And the reason I say incorrect is Jesus didn't talk about the 10% tithe. That's something I think Protestants made up by taking something from the Old Testament. But they're very selective in doing that. They only took one of the tithes. In the Old Testament, there's three of them. Two every year. A third one every third year. 23%. So folks, if you want to be tithers, then please sign up and be trustworthy. 23% of all that he provides you. Salary, properties, etc. 23%. You send that in, and our budget will be more than just fine. But our budget is not just more than just fine. Not based on last week. Fact, all we have is the Lord's. And we are to manage it the way that is pleasing to him. Pleasing. So the question is, are you? I had to ask myself that. And this is something that always stays between you and him. Are you? We are to be faithful in little things. Luke 16:10. Whoever can be treated with very little can also be treated with much, or trusted with little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be very dishonest with much. If we are faithful in small things, Jesus can trust us with greater responsibility. We must not spend money in ways that we know would displease him, because this would make us unfaithful, untrustworthy managers of his wealth. Get it? Good. Number three, when we are faithful, we will profit in three ways. Do you know what those three ways are? Ha ha. I'll tell you next week. My time's done. Let's pray, shall we? Father, the beauty of the things that you asked us to open our spiritual ears to hear this morning is that your Holy Spirit stands there right alongside us. There he is enveloping us in his wonderful love, and he is ready to help us to get off the road to financial distress and the lousy life, but to take the necessary steps to find ourselves on the road that will lead us to the good life, as you have always intended it. So, Father, I pray that the church family, those that have joined us today from other places, will take their message notes, and that they will line them up with the Word of God, and that they will check those scriptures, and that they will check their own lives with you and make whatever confessions they may need to make and pursue the road to financial good health and that good life. For we pray these things this morning in your Son's great name. Amen.